Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you're not led astray. For many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. For these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right, so the world we live in, reality, has this phenomenon called a fractal. And a fractal is a pattern which repeats itself as you increase the scale. So, for example, a river. Like if rivers are giant bodies of water made up of other rivers, which are made up of other little rivers, which are made up of streams, which are all the way down to your front yard where you have those things draining into the ditches, right? So that's a fractal, or a tree. That when you look at a tree and you look at a branch, it's just like a tree, and then you branches all the way down to those leaves that have sometimes with all the little things that look like mini trees in them. Or for those of you who love vegetables, broccoli and cauliflower. Like as you break it up, it's the same thing, just small, and it looks the same. Well, the Bible has that too. Fractals are these gigantic overarching principles or insights or what I call revelations, which then happen on smaller and smaller levels. So the end of the age can refer to the end of the world, but it also refers to the end of a political age, end of a social age, and we have these times. And right now we're living through the end of the age. The World War II generation is dying out. There's a whole new generation that's coming of age. And this is a repeating pattern. I've talked about the fourth turning over and over. And it's a time of, I mean, they told you 18 and 19, we're going to see a lot of disruption and stuff where you look at what's going on. The old ways, the world that we knew it is going away. And then there's larger patterns of that. Well, in the Bible, what God reveals to us is the pattern. Not so much predicting exactly what's going to happen. So the Bible's not intended to tell you what's going to happen on March 3rd, 2026 and all that. What it's laying out for you is human patterns, how we behave. And so I can always look at any period and say, well, this is how it goes. I know how it goes. And how God behaves, how God acts. And it all falls under the rubric of judgment. So what is judgment? Well, in our culture, we don't know the Bible so well, so we don't get this. But judgment is not God punishing bad people. It's God rescuing his people. which feels like punishment to the people who stand against God. The rebels view it as a bad thing, but for those who are being rescued, it should be sort of like good news. It's like the Calvary has come, right? It's supposed to be good news. So Isaiah 65 is part of the last two chapters of Isaiah, 65, 66, are tying up this book. So Isaiah, there is a prophet Isaiah who was a couple hundred years before this was written. All right, and he was very focused on his time frame. Then around chapter 42 or so, we have a setting which is much later in time, the return of the exile from the exile. So it's like 200 years later. And these were very clearly disciples of that man Isaiah, who continue to rework his, and there's all these thematic literary connections, but in their own time and place. And if we had like 4 hours, we could get into how 65 goes back to chapters 1 and 2 in Isaiah and repeats all the same patterns. But basically, Isaiah 65, and you heard part of it here, Isaiah 65 is God's response to people complaining that he's done them wrong. And what God says is, let me tell you my side of the story. I reach out to you and you turn away. You're making covenants with the pagan deities. You're choosing death when I'm offering you life. And there's lots of images here about what life is going to be like for a group that's called the remnant. So what's the remnant? The remnant are the ones who are left behind. Now, I know that you think the people left behind are in trouble, but in the Bible, that's not the case. See, the people left behind hadn't been murdered or brought into slavery, so they were left behind. So, and I don't want to destroy industry here with books and all, but bottom line is, if they say, do you want to be left behind? Your answer is, yes, I want to be left behind. Because the people taken are either dead or they're slaves. So the remnant is what remains behind. It's the small group of faithful Jews in this case, in our case it would be faithful Christians, those who are faithful to God, who trust God, who are loyal to God, who God says, I'm coming back. And when I come back, the lamb is going to eat with the lion. All right, another fractal. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is called the Lamb of God. I saw one like the Lamb. He's also called the Lion of Judah. So what we see is this pattern of lambs and lions, which is repeated in the book of Revelation, which talks about the great banquet feast, which is what we do here. That's what this is. This is a fractal. This is a small version with 68 people. That's being repeated all over and in the diocese and in the wider church and throughout the world today. Millions and millions and millions of these are all going to be, and the small ones look like the large ones and the large ones look like the real large ones. And at the end of time, this is what we're headed for. This is what we're headed for. So this is the bad news for all the people who think church is boring. Better learn to worship God, because that's going to be your primary task in eternity. Now, one of the things that Isaiah is doing here is he says, in the days to come, when you repent, everyone's going to live to a ripe old age of 100. So this is not talking about the end of the world. Because if that's the case, we're already at the end of the world, because we already have people living to 100. It's a small fractal of a larger thing that talks about eternal life. And the Messiah comes eventually to solve the whole thing for the whole world, but in that time period, there's a smaller version of it. So are you with me on this? Because that's what Jesus is taught about in the gospel. When you look at the gospel, what he's talking about is the destruction of Jerusalem. What he says is, I know this is amazing, it's one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, or eight wonders, I mean, it's one of the top wonders of the world. And for podunk people from out in the sticks, it was amazing. This is, look, Jesus, look at this place. It's amazing. He says, nothing's going to be left. Nothing's going to be left. It would be like on 909 instead of 911 saying, none of these, I know it's pretty impressive, none of it's going to be left. And everything he said came true. Up to and including portents in the sky. How do I know that? because a Jewish historian named Josephus wrote a book for the Romans about the fall of Jerusalem, and included in there, the Jews ignored all these signs in the heavens. So, all the bad things that happened, Jesus told us are going to happen. So how should we feel about bad things? Well, we don't like bad things, but it proves he's saying the truth. So where do we live right now? What's the situation we find in ourselves right now? Well, this time of year we spend time talking about the end of the world, and I've been doing this now here for 21 years, and I used to say, I'm not worried much about the end of the world. You know, our world will end, but I'm reshuffling my deck here. Because there's a lot of things going on to have me saying, I kind of wonder. So first of all, let's start with the secular people, because they're going to make fun of me for saying I think it could be the end of the world. So what do secular people say? The ice caps are going to melt. We're going to be underwater, all this water everywhere. It's going to get so hot you can't breathe. It's going to be so cold you're going to freeze to death, and all these terrible things. If you don't stop driving cars and flying airplanes, it's all over. And they're so serious about their flying planes all over the world to get this message out. So anyhow, and they also have big houses, right? So, but the fundamental thing they're warning us is ecological disaster. Then there's always people, the next nuclear war, right? Right now Russia's filling up, but before that was Israel, Iran. I always want to call it Persia because I'm living in the ancient world. But there's always these threats about the water supply. There's not going to be any water to drink. You know, what's the next big thing that's going to happen? So we're bombarded all the time in the secular world, non-believing world, with all these threats that are going to annihilate our existence. Then there's this other group of Bible teachers. And what they do is they're reading the Bible like they'll, you know, in chapter 10 of Ezekiel, they find this thing that's going on in Tokyo, and they say, look, they'll mention, and they're constantly finding things in the Bible, the book of Revelation. I grew up with Lake Great Planet Earth, remember that one? And it's like, it was over. In our lifetime, we're going to see, and there's constantly been people do that. They find the Bible, and they find connections, but there's a lot of people find the things, and they're saying things like, well, we had never seen this before. So, you know, you hear that stuff. And then in Catholic world, the world I grew up in, Mary does a lot of that. Mary comes and meets with small children and explains to them about something impending like Fatima. And most of you don't know about Fatima. But in Fatima, it's connected to World War I. And there's some events took place that were kind of interesting. But one of the things is the Pope was supposed to reveal a secret in the 70s. It was supposed to be kept secret. And when the Pope opened it up, he chose not to reveal the secret because he was concerned how world politics would be impacted by it. And people have seen it. A guy who translated says, I'm under oath, I'm not allowed to tell you, but I can tell you Russia's involved. Which right now, I don't know, does anybody think there's any possibility Russia could be connected to the end of the world? I mean, is that crazy to think? I've been to Medjugorje, and Medjugorje, Mary told these kids about what ended up being their civil war before it happened. And I saw I think my phone is hearing me preach, and so it's sending me videos on YouTube. And so I had a video of the girl who I saw. I met her. I didn't like talk to her, but I was in a group with her. And like, she's an old woman now, because that was like 40 years ago. So she's not 16. But she said she was told she would be around for the end. So this is, I don't know, just factoring it all in. But it does feel like, from every angle, it's possible. There's lots of things with visionaries who've been for 20 years warning us what's coming. I've been preaching on that. It's coming. And a couple years ago, I said, I think it's here. And when I say it's coming, people say, oh, you're so negative. Now I say, I think it's here. People say, I think you're right. In fact, you may be terribly optimistic about how good things are going. So what are we doing in the face of that? Well, first of all, we remember Jesus' words. Heaven and earth will pass away. My word will not pass away. That's number one. Number two, Jesus said it was going to be like this. I'm repeating myself here. The fact it's bad indicates that what Jesus said came true. Number three, Every threat and crisis we face has been gone through before, so it may not be the end of all things, but it could be the end of these things. What does Jesus tell us to do? Tell people to repent. The job has not changed at all. And if you think that things are getting bad, either from a secular or a religious viewpoint, then you should be telling more people it's time to repent. Repentance is an important part of our relationship with God. We should not proclaim fear. We're not supposed to be afraid, unless if you're on the other team. So stop being like your neighbors who don't believe and thinking, oh, I hate, the world's ending, we're supposed to have the big vacation this summer. And I've had people say that. Oh, my kid's supposed to graduate. Oh, God, we wouldn't want the world to end before your kid graduated. They may not get in. Need a diploma or something. We're all cockeyed in what we believe and what we think. Focus on God's faithful love and call everyone to holiness. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, we're praying for the end of the world, right? When we say your kingdom come, what did you think that meant? Free ice cream, I don't know. I mean, I really wonder what the church thinks. Jesus, we say this, will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead. If you're not really good with the evangelism thing, say, well, here's what we believe, and talk about the creed. You're worried about the polar ice caps melting? Repent. You're worried about World War III? Repent. You're worried about they're creating some new disease after they've done this COVID thing, they're going to create a better one where we're all going to die? Spend less time figuring out what your mask is and more time figuring out who your master is, who your savior is. And how should you pray? Well, I think Isaiah gives us a great one. And those of you who do morning prayer know this one. Surely it is God who saves me. I'll trust him and not be afraid. Because the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and he will be my savior. We pray that. I think it's every Thursday or Wednesday. It's one of our regular prayers that we pray. Pray that every day. No fear. No worries. No anxieties. Looking forward to Jesus coming. Looking forward to Jesus coming. So I'm going to kind of focus on some of these themes to retreat. If you haven't signed up for the retreat, I don't know if there's food for everybody, but you're welcome to join us. And I promise the whole thing's going to be focused on joy. And some people may wonder if I could talk about joy for 3 hours. But that's what I want to focus on. I want to focus on trusting him and being joy and being really excited and open to the coming of the kingdom. So let's stand and profess our faith.